And they walked calmly out too, didn't they? I want to say thank you on behalf of your staff for the Christmas bonus that you gave us. It was generous and marvelous and loving and kind, and we thank you very, very much. So, that was neat. We also want to thank folks who showed up on Monday night for the Christmas Eve service. We had a house full. The leftover food's out there on the table. Please feel free to eat it because it's leftover twice. So after today, so if it's still there, it'll be picked over and looked over. But you know, so if you, but feel free to take whatever you want from the table outside. But it was good. We had a good house full. Had lots of family here. We have a significant number of family that we see just on the Christmas Eve service, and so it's fun to see them again. We have folks come all the way from Utah just to go to our Christmas Eve service. They may visit their grandparents while they're here, but that's the reason they come. That's my story, and I am sticking to it. So, and I appreciate the folks that made the trip up to Oro Valley this week to share some time with Andrea Araya when we had the funeral for Sergio. And so several of us were up there for it, and appreciate that. And it meant something to her. Normally, I go to someone else doing a funeral, and I have lots of things to say, but this was by far the best funeral message I've heard, especially on that topic, ever. And I thought he did a tremendous job with it. So, and very good, moving time with their family. And so it was good. So I appreciate those of you who came out for it. And if you have not yet, I have an email address for Andrea. I do not have a physical address for her. So if you need that and want to send her any kind of note or card, let me know, and I'll give you her email address. I have an email address and a phone number, but I don't have a 21st century. I don't have a real address. I have an email address, but as a way of contact. Today we're going to be looking at Christmas from Matthew's perspective. We have looked at it several times from Luke's perspective, but Matthew includes the three, as I heard one child refer to them one time, the three wise guys. It is such a different viewpoint and a different perspective. And that's what lets you know the reality of Scripture, is that different people have different perspectives of the same incident. There's a difference in time frame. We're not talking about the night he was born. He's up to almost, anywhere under 2 years old. They're in a different place. It's no longer the stable in the manger, it's a house. The words matter, and the words are different in Matthew than they are in Luke. Let's read that together. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Well, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' So then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. What everybody else sees as a normal kid, God sees as a king. I want you to imagine the setting. We're in Jerusalem, where Herod, serving under the authority of the Roman government, but with some blood lineage of other kings of Jerusalem, gets to use the title king. But it's only because he's a bloodthirsty son of a gun that rules with an iron hand do the Romans allow him to have any kind of power and authority at all, because he keeps peace for the Romans. And so he's got everybody there, and he's the one that's the king. He's the one that's recognized as the king. And here come these guys from the east. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of east. Benson qualifies. Corona de Tucson qualifies. Wilcox qualifies. Texas qualifies. I was explaining to a cousin once when I was small that we had to go east to go to Texas, and he had no concept of anything west of Texas. He thought that was the left coast. We had to explain to him what geography was about. But from Jerusalem, east could have easily been Iran. And so you can imagine what would happen if Persian travelers came to Jerusalem. Imagine what would happen if Iranian dignitaries showed up in Jerusalem today. It would be an event. It may have been from India. That's east. And them folks are different. There's always been a lot of trade across the Indian Ocean between the Horn of Africa and the Arab lands and the west coast of India. The Muslim expansion took root in India from some of those places. The Apostle Thomas is said to have gone there. And in fact, we walked by the church he was supposed to have started in the first century. Lots of commerce could easily have come from India. They might even have come from as far as China, which would have been to the east as well. Somehow I don't think they came from America. Although, if you go far enough, it's to the east. So they come from the east, and they come there, and they says, we've come to see a king. And no one expected them to be there. No one understood what had happened. Because everyone who had seen him, except for Simeon and Anna, who had probably even passed on by this time, had recognized him as a king. Everybody else just saw a little kid. You understand the implications of that? That means that God sees things in people that we don't see. God sees potential in folks that we don't see. That's why it's so important that churches care for the children. You ain't got no idea what's going to come from that kid. And sometimes the kids surprise you. They actually turn out okay. And some of them surprise you a lot. I don't know if it still holds, but at least up through the turn of the 21st century, I hold the record for the only one who had personally broken the front glass doors of my home church. So I don't know if that record still holds or not, because I haven't checked with him for a while. But we had been married about 15 or 20 years and went back to visit my home church. And about 15 of the folks that had been there for a long time couldn't wait to tell my kids that story of the time your dad broke the front glass doors of the church. You know, they thought it was much more humorous than I did. And the pastor at the time asked me to do the scripture reading for the worship service. And it was an interesting time with interesting responses, because I heard a lot of, that kid was not what they were expecting. You don't know where that kid's going to end up. God can surprise you, because everybody else just saw this normal little kid, and God has prepared a king. Every once in a while, we'll see a little kid that we haven't seen for several years, and they've gotten a lot bigger. And I look at them, and my first thought is, I hope I was nice to you when you were a little kid, because you're huge now. You know, Sergio and Andrea's granddaughter, Harmony, came and gave me a hug. She's 16 and a junior in high school. And I remember her as this little misbehaved 6 or 8-year-old. She's grown up. I hope I was nice to her when she was small. I used to make fun of her name. Kept calling her Melody instead of Harmony, and she kept referring me that I was calling her by the wrong name. And she fortunately did not bring that up on Thursday. I'm sorry. But what do you see when you see somebody? We're so quick with our judgments. We're so quick with our prejudices. We're so quick to categorize and label the little ones and not recognize what God sees. Next thing that happened is Herod lied. Hear what he told him? He says, I want to worship him too. And what's the first thing he does? Kill all the baby boys 2 years old and under. And a voice was heard in Ramah weeping for her children who are no more. Okay, now I know this will come as a surprise to some of you, but even back in biblical times, politicians lie. I know some of you that, you know, disrupts your understanding of the way the world works. Here are the clues. We wanted to meet in secret. Okay, anytime somebody wants to have a meeting with you in secret, or the first words are, don't tell anybody, chances are it's not the God of light and the God of openness directing that meeting. And he says, and as soon as you find him, come back and tell me privately. Uh-huh. The birth of a king, God sent a star. And Herod thinks he can convince these guys it's supposed to be a secret. That shows way more about Herod's character than anybody else's. People lie. Herod lied. God brings light and openness. And we need to be able to discern the lies of others. You think these magi were fooled by that? Even if they were, God sent them a dream to straighten them out. Okay, now I don't know
what kind of dreams you have. Most of the dreams I have, I sure hope it ain't God talking to me. You know? But they're warned in a dream to go back some other way, so all they did is just change the route. Which is fairly easy, because from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, it's back uphill, and from Bethlehem anywhere else, it's downhill, so it'd been a lot easier for them just to leave by some other way, go down the way of the sea or one of the other highways going through there, instead of going back up to Jerusalem. But we need to be able to tell when people are lying to us. We need to be open and have light. But then they find him. And what happens is that God leads us to worship. I want to look at what happened. They saw the star again, and the scripture says they rejoiced when they saw the star. So this whole interlude in Jerusalem, they'd missed the star somewhere. And you know, that happens sometimes with us in our Christian walk. And as a church, sometimes we lose sight of the star. We're doing all our stuff and doing everything we can, and surely it just seems that what we need to do is go talk to Herod and find out about the new king, because surely he'll know. And we lose sight of the star. And we get caught up in everything we're doing, and all of a sudden here's the star. And they rejoiced. And it says the star came and stood right over where they were. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and had a bicycle, my dad used to tell me to go try and find the end of the rainbow. Okay? There's a recurring theme in a lot of my childhood, if you haven't picked it up yet. You know, your mother's calling you. You know, there's a recurring theme. And if you watch my granddaughter run around, you understand. Serve Jeremy right. So you take your bicycle and you go chasing the end of the rainbow. Okay, and you get to where it was, and what happened? That cotton picking rainbow moved on you. You ever notice that? You have to actually chase rainbows to find that kind of stuff, to recognize that kind of stuff. Okay, a lot of people never chase a rainbow. In fact, I've talked to people who never chased a rainbow in their lives. I'm pointing at them, why not? And you know, but you try and chase it, and it keeps moving. And but the star, they could tell which house it was shining on. So that's got to be, you know, pretty cool, unusual, and pretty neat. So they found it and they rejoiced. And the first thing they did, it says they fell to the ground. Now, do you know what the most common posture in the scripture for worship is? It's flat on your face before God. Now, I was raised in a Baptist church, and we never had the kneeling rails in them. You know, it's a pretty rare Baptist church has kneeling rails. There's a few. But went to a Catholic funeral once, and they had the kneeling rails. And so I says, well, what's that? Well, that's the kneeling rail. Well, how does it work? And they show you, pull it down, and then it's cushioned, and you can kneel on it. It doesn't hurt your knees as bad. And it's, well, that's cool. How come our church don't have one? And go ask your mother. Go ask your father. You see, there's a recurring theme here. I don't know if you picked up on that yet or not, okay? And so, but here they see Jesus, and they fall down to worship. And so, having a conversation with someone about, you know, they're wanting us to get back to more biblical worship. And I says, great, let's take out all the chairs and lay on the floor. That's not what I meant. Okay, well, what did you mean? And they fell on their face. What would we fall on our face for? And it says, then they opened their treasures. They opened their treasures. Now, I don't know if you've ever traveled a lot or supposed to travel overseas, but you work out some way to handle carrying your money that's more secure than your normal life, okay? Your passport and so forth. I usually take one of the little neck pouches things with it, so it's inside the shirt, and I sweat a lot, so mine's always in a plastic bag. But you know, so I have to take it out, take out the plastic bag, and you know, and it's a more secure way of doing it. That's what it means by opening your treasures. These guys had robes. The treasures would have been on their bodies, in the inner robes, secure, so they're not easily seen. So that the pickpockets and vagabonds, if they travel through, don't take them from them. They open their treasures. So as they open their treasures, and then they gave their gifts. So I want you to notice what their worship consisted of. Did not consist of sacrifice. Did not consist of animals. Did not consist of recitation of scriptures. It consisted of them rejoicing, falling on their face, opening their treasures, and giving gifts. And that was their worship. I kind of get cracked up every time someone tells me they've got worship all figured out. I think they may not know how big God is. If you got worship all figured out, then your God's a little small. Because the God we worship is pretty big. And worship is a pretty wide variety of things. But they worshiped. God always leads us to worship. And one of the things about worship is always focused on God. And it's never focused on us. And so if we can't take our eyes off of ourselves and our problems and our griefs and our difficulties and our conundrums and focus on God, we've not worshipped. They came, they fell, they opened, they gave, and God was blessed. Strange kind of gifts. Gold, we can understand gold. Frankincense and myrrh are used for preparing corpses for burial. Nothing prophetic there at all. Not much help for child rearing. Okay? When you got a 2-year-old at the house, those definitely go on the list of you can't touch those. And somehow I don't think Jesus ever went, they give them to me. But they're to prepare him for his burial. Now I want you to think for a minute who these guys were. They're not Christians. They're not believers. They're not Jewish. They're pagans. They're magician astrologers. They saw something in the skies and they followed it. And yet, they're recorded in Scripture as some of the first folks to come and give homage and worship and praise to Jesus. These guys fit the definition of they ain't like us, but they saw more about Jesus than everybody in their neighborhood did. Oh, how God wants us to lose our hardened, judgmental hearts and be open to God doing something new and beautiful and unusual with people who are different. Where is God leading in 2019? What is it God wants to do with us? What is it that God wants to change in us? What is it God wants to make happen in us? And are we ready to follow Him? What star are we following as we head into 2019? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Please hear our prayer. Where are you leading us? We used to sing a song that said, wherever he leads, I'll go. Do we really mean that? Or are we just mouthing the words? Father, I pray that we truly would surrender to you and your will in 2019. That you would make a difference in who we are. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.